Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
My brothers and my sisters, since January of this year, our president, President Donald Trump, has engaged in a wide-ranging campaign of revenge and retribution, which fulfills promises he made during his campaign to punish perceived political opponents. These actions have targeted specific individuals, former officials, law firms, universities, Democratic states, and media organizations. The fear of becoming a victim of our president and his supporters' retribution is sweeping across America. What a sad day and time that we are living in. Exacting revenge and retribution is something that is as natural as breathing for the majority of the human race. Our natural response to when we perceive that people hurt us or offended us is to exact revenge and retribution. Have you ever heard people say, "I don't get mad, I get even"? Listen to me good. It is just the response of fallen human nature. If you are cursed at, to turn around and curse back. If you are insulted, to turn around and insult in return. If you are struck, turn around, strike back. And because of our fallen nature, we get caught up in the cycle of revenge and retribution. Revenge and retribution are always hard to identify because they masquerade themselves as a sense of justice. We think and we say, "I have the right to seek revenge and retribution." We say, "I'm just giving them a little dose of what they gave me. I'm just helping them feel what I felt when they hurt me." New Providence and friends, have you ever been hurt very badly by someone and thought the urge to go over and even things up? If you have, guess what? You are in good company. For many of us here today have walked down that path of great temptation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But even before us, David in our text, the soon-to-be king of Israel, had to walk down this path. If ever there were a case that could be made for getting revenge or retribution, it is in the case of King Saul and his treatment of David. Let me quickly share with you a general overview of the events that precede our selected scriptural text. King Saul, because of his disobedience to God, is told that his kingdom will be taken from him and given to another. David is anointed as the new king of Israel, but his God-determined appointment had not yet been established. Because of the favor that God showed towards David, King Saul perceived David as an enemy and became insanely jealous of him and ended up trying to kill David. King Saul chased David from place to place. David had little rest from the pursuit of King Saul. Day after day, he was on the run. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, and Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now, it is important for you to remember that David had done nothing to deserve this trouble from Saul. And if it was revenge and retribution that David wanted, he soon would have his chance. You see, in verses 1 to 4 of our scriptural text today, King Saul has just returned from pursuing the Philistines. Now, if you're a good Bible reader, you will remember that David went to live among the Philistines for a year. And King Saul is told that David has been spotted in the desert of En Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men and set out to look for David and his men. As he was searching, Saul goes into a cave by himself to relieve himself. You know, that means to go to the bathroom. He thinks that he has total privacy and in a place of safety. But guess what? What do you think is in the cave, or who do you think was in the cave with him. That's right. David and his men are hidden in the rear of the cave, unknown and unseen from the eyes of King Saul. Here was David's chance to get revenge and retribution on King Saul. And who would have blamed David if he would have taken out his sword and stuck it into the back of Saul for all that Saul had done to him and the way Saul had destroyed David's life because of jealousy? And come on, let's be honest with one another. If some of us who are here watching online or listening by phone were provided this same opportunity that was provided to David to exact revenge, King Saul would have been history. Am I right about it? We would have taken Saul out right quick and fast. But David refused to seek retribution. He chose not to exact revenge on Saul, even after all the terrible things that Saul had done to him. So, New Providence and friends, what can we learn from the Word of God today that can help us when we ourselves are tempted to seek revenge or retribution? How do you deal with the person at work who manipulates situations to make himself or herself look good at your expense? How do you deal with the family member, Lord have mercy, who has said some really hurtful and untrue things about you? How do you deal with the supposed friend who borrowed money from you, promising to pay you back, but you haven't seen a dime yet, and they keep trying to avoid you? Are you listening to me? How do you deal with the spouse who walked out on you, leaving you alone to deal with the kids? How do you deal with the parent who verbally, emotionally, physically, or sexually abused you? How do you deal with that person who is jealous of you and is constantly seeking ways to discredit and destroy you?
All right, preacher.
What was it? What was it about David that kept him from exacting revenge and retribution?
All right.
What lessons can we learn from David's response to the ill treatment he received from King Saul. Let me share a few lessons with you, and we're going to go home. The first lesson that we learn from David is this. You and I must not allow others to convince us to exact revenge or retribution. Let me say it again. Somebody's writing this down. The first lesson we learn from David is that you and I must not allow others to convince us to exact revenge or retribution. In verse 4 of our text, the Bible says, David's men said to him, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. In other words, David's men are saying to him, hey, here's your opportunity. This is God's way of providing you a chance to move into the position he's promised you. Go get him, David. This is your moment. Now, New Providence and friends, are we not also guilty of doing the same thing that David's men suggested?
That's right.
Have you ever told somebody that you believe that God provided a way for them to get somebody back? Wait a minute. Here's how we say it. What comes around goes around. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. If we be truly honest today, if we have lived any substantial time here on the planet Earth and have had interaction with other humanity, we have to admit that we have participated in pushing up someone to seek revenge and retribution. Go back to your school days. Go back to your years as a child, a teenager, a young adult, and even as an adult. Can you remember when you were one of David's men? The sad thing about pushing up others to seek revenge and retribution is oftentimes the pushing up results in a major crisis or a senseless murder. David refused to allow others to push him up to exact revenge and retribution. Can I speak quickly to our young people who are here? Young people, don't allow your peers to pump and push you up to get revenge on somebody, because all they are doing is jeopardizing your future. Let me remind you, young people and some adults, that the graveyard has short graves and long graves. And we ought not push up somebody because the end might be death. Can y'all take just a little bit more? Secondly, we learn from David that before you seek revenge or retribution, remember that you have a conscience. Tell your neighbor, you got a conscience. In verse 4, the Bible says that instead of killing Saul, David crept up unnoticed behind him and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And verse 5 tells us afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of Saul's robe. David says, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift up my hand against him, for he is anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack King Saul. Come on now, wait a minute. Come on, David. This is the man who has tried for months to kill you. This is the man who has been chasing you day after day after day. And you have the nerve to be feeling guilty for cutting off the tail of his robe? Is there anybody in here today or watching or listening that has done something wrong and your conscience troubled you? Wait a minute. Reverend Webb, sometimes I don't have to commit an act, but just the thought of committing to act causes my conscience to bother me. Am I right about it? And check this out. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to use our conscience to remind us that God has a holy standard in which we should follow. And he uses the conscience to convict us when we are out of line or heading out of line with God's word. Need to tell your neighbor, remember, you have a conscience. If David was here today, he would tell us that when you are tempted to exact revenge or retribution, remember that you have a God-given conscience. And God will use the gift of your conscience to reprove, to rebuke, and to correct you. And finally, somebody say finally. The last lesson that we want to share with you from David is this. When you are tempted to exact revenge and retribution, remember that you were given another chance to get yourself together. Oh, y'all, that little pity pat. I said, remember that you were given another chance to get yourself together. When we read verse 8 in the text, the Bible says that after Saul left the cave, David came out of the cave and called out to King Saul, "My Lord, the king." When Saul looked back, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to King Saul, "Why do you listen when men say that David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urge me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut the corner of your robe, but I did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. David, in essence, is saying to King Saul, "Saul, I could have taken you out, but I gave you another chance to make things right. Instead of taking matters into my own hands, I decided to turn you over to the one whose hands are much larger than mine. Today, King Saul, it can be a new beginning for you and your life. You have the opportunity to start life afresh. You have been given another chance to get yourself together. In addition to David, I want to let you know about another person who left revenge and retribution where it needs to be left, and that is in the hands of God the Father. The man I want to introduce you to, his name is Jesus. While hanging on the cross, sinful man walked by and wagged their heads. They mocked and reviled him. They said he saved others, but himself he could not save. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. But even after all the ridicule and all the mocking that man had done to him on that cross, Jesus looked up to his Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, give them another chance to get right with us. Father, have mercy on them. Father, had to let man have another way to get back into a right relationship with you. And from the sixth to the ninth hour, he hung on that cross. But then the Bible says, when salvation was complete, he hung his head and said, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Salvation is finished. Forgiveness is finished. Mercy for fallen man is finished. And he died. I said he died. Did he die? Yes, he died. But the Bible says they took him off that cross, buried him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. He forgave us. He had mercy on us. God did not have to do that. He could have wiped out all of us and created another man. Could have created another garden. He could have done it. But he loved us so much that even at the time where he could have sought revenge on us for being a disobedient, ungrateful people, he suspended the judgment and gave us life, the opportunity for life, and life more abundantly. Come on, stand to your feet all over the church if you can. New Providence and friends, I'll be honest with you, I'm seriously troubled. About this campaign of revenge and retribution that is going on in our country today. And you know what's really sad? You can be as innocent as God is real, but there's still people who will holler out, "Crucify him." They might be your friends today, but tomorrow they'll say, "Crucify him." And then, because we are so consumed with the media put spins on everything. And you know that right now, there are a lot of things that are being censored in our media so that we do not either hear about them or they put something else up to deflect us from really finding out what's really going on. Tell your neighbor, don't get too comfortable where you are. You know why I say that? Because ICE may one day come looking for you. Just based on the color of your skin. Don't get too comfortable where you are and think that everything is all right. As long as you're getting your paycheck and as long as you can pay your bills, that everything is okay. Because in one day, matter of fact, not even a day, in an hour, your life can be turned. And that's the reason why 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then he said he'll hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal, guess what? The land. But you know what? I know geographically the land talks about all the surfaces of the earth. But then when I think of the land, I think about the land that's in my heart. Because I know at times my land in my heart gets a little polluted. Oh, Lord, y'all looking at me funny. I get polluted sometimes. And sometimes I need my own land, personal land, healed. But I'm so glad that the God that I serve is big enough not only to heal the physical land, but he can heal the land in my heart so that I can survive and thrive even though the world around is having trouble.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531. or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.